Mark 4:35-41. Please follow along as I read it aloud. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You may be seated. Today, we'll have Elder Hong come deliver the message titled "Peace in a Sudden Storm."
Good morning. Best wishes for all of you for the new year. The scripture we read this morning told a familiar story about a sudden storm that came up, and Jesus rose up from his slumber and quieted the storm. Want to take a closer look at this story and see what it might also impact in our lives today. To desire peace in our heart is one of the most basic desires. We all desire that, and when we write to each other, we wish each other peace. In fact, for all the epistles, the letters that Paul has written to the first century churches, he has started with every letter, wishing the recipients of the letter grace and peace from the Father and Jesus Christ be with them. Peace. Something that we all desire, and we also know that this is something we don't have naturally in our hearts. If you were given one word to tell your family, if you are away from family for a long time, and to tell them your situation, what word would you choose? Well, these days, with the convenience of email, instant message, that doesn't seem to be a problem anymore. But it used to be a problem for us when I first came to the United States. Telephone was very expensive. Telegraph is fast, but you can't use too many words. You're in a very strange land, you want to tell your family your situation, you will try to use as few words as possible. What words would you choose? Now, this story happened many times, and there's a famous story happened about 1300 years ago in Tang Dynasty. There's a young man who went out to be a official on the western side of the country, actually in Xinjiang, very far away from where he was brought up from his homeland. He met someone going the other direction when he was outside of this long wall, this great wall. He met someone going to his homeland. So they were on horses. So he finds this out. He said, "Well, please bring one word to my family." What word did he choose? Peace. Peace. It's one of the most basic blessings, one of the most basic needs in all our lives. The psychologist who said, what we find security or what we find is our peace defines who we are. Defines who we are. Now, when we sense there's hostility, when we sense there's danger, when we sense the situation is out of our control, then we lost that peace and we feel fear. And that's normally what happens. That's why, in some ways, I think the psychiatrist or the psychologist is correct in assessing that who we are actually defined. by our fear or by our security, what we sense things we think to be our security. Now, this story started on a particular day, that day when the evening came. That day is the day that Jesus worked very, very hard. He was preaching from a boat to a lot of people standing on the shore. He was preaching using parables, the parables of the sowers, the parables of the kingdom of God. He has preached, he has worked very, very hard, and when evening came, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." At this moment, they were at the northwestern side of the Lake Galilee, and he wanted them to go over to the opposite side, the southeastern side of the lake. Now, that was in the evening, and he desired to go over to the other side of the lake, and it's during this transit, okay, and something happened. A sudden storm that rose up, and they're in great danger. While this all occurred, Jesus was in the stern. He was sitting in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" This is almost an accusation that you're sleeping while we're all in danger. Of course, the one that's asleep is most in danger. And also, we should note that the disciples, most of the disciples here, at least four of the disciples, were fishermen. They were, if anyone, they were experts concerning the ways of the water, the ways of the lake. They're the ones who knows how to save themselves, if anyone who knows about that, and they are also the ones who knew the danger the best. They've seen storms before, they saw this storm, and it's their assessment. They are in great danger because of this sudden storm. The sense of that we feel something is dangerous or we are in danger has something to do with the situation, the way the situation arose. And in this particular situation, we know that the storm came at night. At night, you don't see anything. And they didn't expect the storm to come. And the storm came. And it's such a great storm, and they feel the way that the wave was broken over the boat and the water's filling the boat. And they couldn't quite bail the water out fast enough. They decided they're going to die. They're going to sink. And that's why they cried out to Jesus saying, "Well, don't you care if we drown?" And that's their assessment of the situation they're in. We know that the Lake Galilee is not a very big lake. It's about 23 miles long and about 13 miles wide. It's not a very big lake, but they call them a sea in that area. It's formed by the forces between two plates. One is the African plate that meets with the Arabic plate and forms a depression. So that part of the world is very, very low. And that lake, Lake Galilee, is one of the lowest freshwater lake in the world. It's about 600 feet below sea level. And surrounding this lake, formed by this to the meeting of the two plates, is that depression. Now, this depression forms this Jordan Valley. So the lake sits at the northern side of the Jordan River. The Jordan River feeds in from the north, flows down out from the south towards the Dead Sea. So this lake is surrounded on three sides, at least, by highlands. Golan Heights, you heard about, is on the east and the northeast side. And Mount Hermon is to the north. Mount Hermon is quite high. It's about 9,300 feet high. And the lake is very low, 600 feet below sea level. What I'm telling you this is, now you can imagine that the story occurred in the fall. It's during the times that the cold water, the air can be quite cold. The cold air from the highlands, from Mount Hermon, flows down the Jordan Valley from the highlands. This cold, heavy air that rushes down through this funnel-like structure, confined by these mountains and flows down to the river, to the lake. And the lake is could be very, very warm if they receive a lot of sun. That could be one of the situations that occurred. So you have warm water, warm, wet air meeting with cold, heavy air coming down from the mountains when they meet. And if condensation occurs, there's a lot of the latent heat that's released. And in other words, there's a lot of energy that's released, and a sudden storm will occur. Sudden storm always occurs in this way. In fact, in 1991, there was a cold front coming that was moving along the Canadian-U.S. border and meets up with a high pressure on Nova Scotia in Canada. This by itself is not a very unusual thing. It's some cold front that moves out, stopped by high pressure ridge at Nova Scotia. But at that time, there is a dying mid-strength hurricane by the name Grace. There's a Grace that came up and dying and moving towards the Nova Scotia area. A storm that carries a lot of moisture, meeting with the cold air from the north, high pressure, those cold air that brings the high pressure down and meets with this Grace and formed a storm that no expert expected to come. No one saw this coming. It occurred in the fall, actually occurred October 31st. This storm is a great storm, but has no name, because nobody expected to come. And sometimes it's referred to as the Halloween storm. Actually, it's known as the perfect storm. You heard of that term, the perfect storm. It's talking about this particular storm. The situation is such that each element by itself is not very, very unusual, but this unusual situation that occurred right at that point that creates a great storm that brings wave height as high as maybe 100 feet in the Long Island Sounds. And the story is the perfect storm is about a fishing boat, and perhaps you know about this. It creates a lot of damage in New Jersey, Massachusetts area. That storm keep blowing south. It started as a northeaster. It continued to go south to the Sea of South Carolina and form a regular storm. So this is very unusual. Nobody knew that this would come, and this is a situation where nobody see that this is coming that creates the most fear. We have at night the situation is such that a great storm that occurred. And if you knew a little bit about the way the wave works, you know, the Lake of Galilee is not very deep. It's tens of meters deep. And you know, the wave, when it occurs, it moves in circular motion. If the wave is not too deep, the lower part of the wave moves slower than the upper part of the wave because of the drag, which means that water will turn over, white water. And that's what's going on here. And this great storm that occurred, and it's not, the water doesn't go up and down. Go up and down is not so bad. This water is turning over, and now it's filling the boat. And this situation is very dangerous. And now we understand why the fishermen, this experienced sailors, would felt that it's so hopeless. Moderator prayed and said, referring to the year that just passed, we experienced a different storm. A storm that nobody saw it came or coming. We experienced what it is. This is the tsunami of the financial world, the financial storm, something that happened that leaves nobody on the earth untouched. Everyone, every line of work is touched by that storm. And we may analyze and see how this can come about, but that's not what we're here this morning. But we are in a storm of sorts. This storm came also because it's so fearful, because we don't know it's coming, we don't understand it, we can't control it, and we only know that we're in danger. But are we in danger? Were those disciples on that boat ever in danger? Why are they afraid of? What is it that they are afraid of? What we are afraid of defines who we are. What are we really afraid of? What is our security? What we feel that gives us the strength, the security. The fishermen, of course, they live on the lake. The lake provides their livelihood, and they know about the waters, and that's, in a way, their security. But that day, that night, their security threatens their own very own existence. People live in this society at this time here, very often that we feel that wealth, money, is our security. It is in that sense that we felt we're in danger. Because that which we felt is our security now seems to turn against us. And thus we're in danger. Money is something that has a great hold in our lives. We spend so much time and energy to earn it. We felt that this is something that provides us control of our situation. It gives us the strength. It gives us the control. It's something that gives us that security or safety. When I just arrived in the United States, the first experience I have is as walking out on O'Hare Airport, that corridor that leads from the plane out to the security place. That time it's called customs. And as I was walking, I saw in front of me a green bag, a $5 bill. At that time, $5 is like $50. It's quite valuable. And when I look at that, and I stop right before it, I don't know what to do. I said, well, it's $5. It's a lot of money for someone who just came up from airplane that came from Taiwan, and I multiplied at that time everything by 40. That's how you make the conversion between Taiwan dollar and U.S. dollar. I said, well, this is a lot of money here. And what do you do? Of course, as a good Chinese, you bring this, you pick up this money and you hand it to police. You say, well, I found something, somebody lost his money. But police speaks English. I don't know what to say. How do you say that you find this money? And would they think that I'm crazy? Where are the policemen? What do I do? And I was standing before this $5 bill and wondering what I should do. And there's a guy who's walking up from behind me, short, fat. He came up and he somehow got his foot in front of me. He goes like, I was very thin at that time. He stepped on this dollar and he turned back and looked at me and said, I saw it first. I was stunned. He saw it first. But my problem was solved because I didn't know what to do with this $5. I don't know what to say to this policeman. So I thanked him. I said, thank you very much. He must think that Chinese are all nerds, but he didn't know what's going on. But anyway, that time I had the sense that this $5 has power, that it really attracts people's attention. It really did. That's the society we're in. We spend our energy to earn money. When money, the world of money starts to have a storm, it's a storm of our life, that we become insecure. Even though the storm's outside, but there's a different storm that occurred inside. Does money give us security? If you ask this question and look into it a little bit deeper, you know that can be. Because it's the people who has money needs bodyguards. Right? If you don't have any money, you don't need any bodyguard. If you have lots of money, you need a bodyguard. So the money cannot give you security. The more money you have, the more secure you are. Why do you need bodyguards? I know that firsthand. The year that I graduated from college, I was so-called the president of the class. One of the duties of the president of that class is to organize a dinner to thank all the professors. So that's one of the duties that I have. Now, at that time, we don't have any credit cards. This is 1962. There's no credit cards, and actually, I don't even have a check. So nobody has a check. So everybody were giving me their share of their contribution. So everyone said, well, here is, I don't know, $800 or $1,000 Taiwanese. And you divide by 40, you see how much they're giving. But at that time, for me, it's a great amount of money. And there's a lot of people in the class, right?
40, 50 people in the class. So all of a sudden, I have a lot of cash. I never had so much cash. Thick. Big wad of cash. Now, tens of thousands of dollars. Then I don't know. I usually, when I walk on the streets, I mean, I feel very secure. It's my own land. And I mean, what's to afraid of? But that day, when I walk out of the class with this tens of thousands of dollars in my pocket and it sort of bulges out, I lost security completely. I was so nervous. I look at everyone and see what. So that's not what provides us with security. But we somehow think that gives us security. That our security, our strength, lies with that thing. Even though, if we think about it, we know that it can be that. But why is this economic storm that's blowing in this world? What kind of storm is it? We all know that when you really need the money probably is useless. As one of the industrialists in China found out, and this is a story I've heard two or three years ago, and there was an industrialist who had contracted the fourth stage of lung cancer. And when he found out, usually these things, when you find out, it's too late. So the doctor said, well, you had incurable lung cancer. You have probably, 2 or 3 months to live. He said, well, I have a lot of money. I can purchase any cures that you can provide. I can't afford it. And the doctor said, well, I'm sorry, this is something that you cannot buy with your money. So he went back and he went into his room, locked his door, and his children saw some smoke came out from the door, and they broke in and they found his father burning money. They said, why are you burning money? He said, I spent my whole life, story goes, earning this money. When I really needed it, it's useless. Why do I need it? Now, people do die for their money. It occurs every day. It occurred just a few days ago, a German billionaire by the name of Adolf Merkel. He had about $9.2 billion, but in this particular storm, economic storm, he invested, or he bet wrong on short on Volkswagen, and he lost maybe $400 million, and for some reason, he felt that he needed to kill himself. And there's a Chinese sort of a saying that birds die because of food, because they want to eat food, and they die because of that. And people die, men die, because of money, because of the wealth. It's something that can be very dangerous, yet something that we felt is our security. Security is not, when we feel secure, it's not because there's no hostility outside, nor because it's absent of danger. Here the story goes that there apparently is a great danger that's occurring in the circumstances. This great storm and the boat's about to sink, and these experts of the sea knows they're in peril. And they cry out to Jesus and say, well, we are drowning. Don't you care? And this is sort of interesting accusation. If we think a little bit, this story occurs when Jesus was preaching the gospel in his second year. A year and a half later, Jesus will be facing his own storm, facing his own execution on the cross. The night before that occurred, there's something that occurred. Also, so interesting thing that occurred. That is, Jesus brought some of his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus said, well, Jesus was praying very hard because something that he was facing was very, very difficult for him. And he desired the disciples to pray with him. He said, well, stay awake, pray with me. 3 times he asked his disciples to pray, to stay awake and pray with him. But his disciples kept falling asleep. It's this story, the opposite of this story. And now, at this time, at that night, these are the disciples who's accusing Jesus. He's not caring. They took his inaction, that Jesus Christ was sleeping on the boat, as a sign of his indifference. They took his inaction as a sign of his indifference. And they were that wrong. We're often in our own storm. We pray to God and God doesn't seem to respond to our prayer. And we decide that he didn't care. This is something that we got ourselves in. He didn't care. But he did. It's only in the storm will people find out what peace were. There's no such thing as peace in your heart unless you are in a stormy situation. Unless there's danger, you don't know what peace is. Unless there's insecurity or there's a storm, we don't know what peace is. When the storm came, it reveals who we are. Now we're in a storm. The storm reveals us, like it did on that night. Jesus asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" What we felt is our security is that on which our faith resides. You still have no faith. What are you afraid of? And faith and our fear are always related. "He who doubts is like a wave of the sea," wrote in the book of James. It says, "Blown and tossed by the wind." If you don't have faith, you are like the one that's been tossed in the wave, and you can't hold on to something that's secure. What is our security? Depends on what do we believe in. We all knew the story from since youth about the battle between the Philistine Goliath and David. Goliath came with sword, spear, and the javelin, with thick armors, 9 foot 6 inches tall, great strength. He wants to fight one-on-one. Here came this little David in his youth, armed only with a sling and 5 little stones. But David was never in fear. He came and said to Goliath, that "I come against you in the name of our Lord." That's where his reliance is. That's where his security is. He's not afraid. When Jesus was asleep on the boat, by itself would tell us we're in a safe place, where Jesus is. They were never in danger. "Quiet, be still," Jesus said to the waves. The waves are calm, they felt safe. But they were never in danger in that sense. So, and the sea doesn't have ears. Why did Jesus have to say it? The thing didn't hear. So he must have said it to some extent for the disciples to hear. And the disciples were terrified when the storm were calmed. That's what the scripture says. Jesus, "Why are you afraid?" Now they were terrified. The fear increased after the storm is calmed. What is it that they were terrified of? They get a glimpse. That's a terrifying thing, because they are in the presence of the one who commands the sea and the wind. Peace be still. If we are in a great storm of any kind, perhaps we should hear that. Peace be still. Jesus is saying that I'm with you. Even if you have to walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, I'm with you. You are never in danger. The storm is always inside, never outside. No matter how calm the outside may be, that you can still have a great storm inside. We also have this outside situation that brings up the sense of danger. But usually that's not the case. It's who we are that interprets the situation, the circumstances, as to whether it's dangerous or not. I used to study at in Ithaca, in the Clark Hall. That's where my laboratory is, for those of you who know what that place is. It's on sort of a little mountain, and as cheap Chinese students, we live in the cheapest place we can find on Stewart Avenue, which is down from halfway down from this mountain thing. So, I also worked very hard, and I go back from the lab, and very often 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I walk from the Clark Hall to my place of residence on the Stewart Avenue. The quickest way is through Ithaca Municipal Cemetery. That's the quickest place. It's a huge cemetery. It's clean. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's clean. Got trees and paths and all that. Not much light. But anyway, a little bit. Now, I'm a scientist. There was absolutely no evidence anything that's going on at night over that place that's not going on during the day. There's absolutely no evidence to the contrary that anyone should be fear of this place. But for now, walk through that cemetery at night at 2 o'clock. Calm outside. No noise, too calm. Ooh. I walk fast, walk down. Good thing it's going down the hill. I walk down. Every time I get to my apartment, I say, why did I walk so fast? There's a certain storm, there's a certain deer that's inside, something that I don't quite know what it is. And this uncertainty, this fear reveals who we are, number one, number two. It's never about outside. This outside situation is very calm, but inside there's a storm brooding. Storms are always inside. So if we have faith in the one who resides in our boat, we have faith knowing that go to the other side. There's a command from God. They didn't want to go to the other side. Jesus said go to the other side. What are they afraid of? That spoke volumes about our own faith. So that Jesus asked them, why are you afraid? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? So in that sense, in every storm, our faith facing the storm was strengthened. Know a little bit more about our Lord after the storm. His name is Prince of Peace. That's who he is. Do we really understand who he is in our life, the one that's in our life? In our little boat, it looks dangerous, can't really take much pounding of the great waves. If you are on any boat, probably you would rather be on Titanic. It's unsinkable. It's the first huge steel boat. It has all kinds of technology built into it so that it's so safe. It has a name. Of unsinkable. Yet, it's that little boat that's where its safety is, not on that Titanic. There was a storm that occurred in 1874 on the Atlantic Ocean. A man by the name of Spafford, he was going to join Moody in England for his evangelistic outreach, but he was a little too busy, so he sent his family out first and he'll follow. And his family consists of, at that time, his wife and 4 daughters. As they sail through the Atlantic to England on the night on November night, a collision occurred in the darkness. The boat his family were on hit a huge barge and sank. All his 4 daughters were drowned. The wife was miraculously saved, got to England, sent a telegraph with 2 words, saved alone. And this man, Spafford, Horatio Spafford, in his 40s, a lawyer in Chicago, rushed to England. On his transatlantic voyage on the boat, when they got near to where the accident occurred, there must be a great storm in his soul. There must be a very difficult time. Yet, a great hymn ran out in his heart. That's the story of how we get a famous hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." it is well with my soul. That's peace. Even though the situation calls for storm inside. But no, that's not the case. Every one of us, I'm speaking out to the people who didn't quite know who Jesus is, every one of us is facing a storm in the future. Normally, things that happens in the future, we cannot be quite sure. That's what future means. Things are not quite sure. Past means things you cannot change. Today is the time that when things cannot change, things you are not sure become things that you cannot change. What is it that's in the future, the things that you are not sure, that is actually sure? There's one thing in the future. In all our lives, we have very good happiness and we have very good reason to believe. It's going to happen to every life. It's something we don't talk about. It's just not good form to talk about death in any situation. Not during the dinner, not during chit chats, no situation that allows us really to think about and talk about that. Yet there's one thing that's going to occur in everyone's future. God so loved the world, the scripture tells us, that he gave his only begotten Son so that all who believe in him will not perish. We will perish. That's what's store for us in the future. It's going to come. It's not a storm in the sense that we knew it's going to come. It's not sudden. It's that we don't know how, we don't know when, but we knew, we know. We don't make any allowance for that, any preparations for that, any try to get better understanding of that one thing which will occur in the future. We're not a realist. God gave his begotten, only begotten Son because he loved us. So that we, whoever believes in him, believes in Jesus, will not perish, but have eternal life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalmist wrote, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. But Jesus on our boat going through a storm of a magnitude that we cannot even imagine, peace will be there if Jesus is there. For those of you who does not know Jesus, I encourage you in the beginning of the year to pay some attention to that important issue. The goal of our life is not security, it's not peace. Peace is not the goal of our life, but a way of life. Peace is a way of life. That's how we live. We do not live for bringing peace or that security, whatever that you find security in. People who find security in arms will build up their arms. People who feel security in money will build up their treasury and so forth. But our security is in Christ. It's in him. He residing in our boat. Even though he seems to be asleep, he is telling us, peace, be still. There's no storm can touch him. Thus, there's no storm can touch us. I wish you at the beginning of the year peace. And may the peace from God be with you throughout the year and be your portion. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this particular incident that happened 2,000 years ago on the lake. Father, we pray that as we face our own storm during our lives, we may remember that you are in our boat. Thank you, Lord. Grant us that peace. Grant us that strength knowing that where you are, that's also where peace is. Glory to God in the highest. Lord, we thank you. And peace to man on whom your favor resides. Pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ.